I'm from Cornwall, in the very southwest of England, so I'm very sorry for any strange punctuation and such. And I hope I don't come across like a thunder-twunt cuckwit. Now, any road, I was a pizza delivery guy in the UK for a few years, ending in 2020 after I got COVID and had to self-isolate, by which time, people just weren't ordering pizza in our little village anymore. We have a bunch of things in the UK. Proper cheese, Marmite, old remnants of World War II where you least expect them, Cornish pasties. You know what we don't have, though? Kaiju. At least, I thought we didn't, up until that night in the winter of 2017. I was sent out by the big pizza chain that I worked for to deliver a pizza to an address I'd never heard of. It fell just inside of our delivery area, and I was one of the moped drivers, and it was a bit of a struggle to follow the GPS directions while riding a scooter, so I kept having to pull over. I knew for sure that by the time I reached the customer, the pizza and sides were probably going to be cold, which meant a complaint and probably a discount that would come out of my wages. To make matters worse, the route seemed to be leading me down the back roads through the forest. Now, nothing wrong with that, in the daylight, but I've always been a bit of a scaredy cat, not gonna lie, so I just hunkered down and headed for roughly where I thought the location was. And then, I heard the kaiju sound. You know the sound. You probably heard something like it 1,000 times, even if you haven't seen a single Godzilla movie. It's like that bwong from Inception mixed with Godzilla's roar. Hollywood uses it in trailers all the time, but less so back in 2017. But every time, it's an indicator that something big, bad, and terrifying is coming. Bwong, I heard it through my crash helmet. Bwong, and I kept driving, not wanting to look up. Now, I knew deep down that a freaking Godzilla wasn't going to be towering over the trees. I knew a T-Rex wasn't going to come charging after me. And I knew King Kong wasn't about to beat his chest and howl at me. And I knew Leonardo DiCaprio wasn't about to tell me I was in a dream. But the sound was happening. I wasn't imagining it. Things just got weirder when I saw a cardboard sign up ahead attached to a tree. It literally said, "Pizza Guy This Way." Yeah, that wasn't sketchy at all. Godzilla roars and a mysterious sign, I should have just booked it out of there, except now I realized where I was. Out in the woods was an old World War II bunker. We used to hang out there as kids sometimes, and there was an old broken air raid siren attached to the outside. Wincing against the sound, I realized that someone had got it functioning, at least enough to play their own recorded sounds through it. Now, you might think I was a total muttonhead for grabbing the pizza and heading to the door of the shelter, but I kinda knew who was staying there. It was a group of squatters, hippie types who wanted to live off the grid and had decided to make that air raid shelter their home until presumably the council came along and kicked them out. I knew because a buddy of mine had been hanging out with them a bit, and it made sense that he might have been the one to order pizza or at least orchestrate it. I knocked on the door to the bunker. No answer. Well, I wasn't having that. The order was a cash on delivery. If the pizza didn't get paid for, I didn't get paid. And so balancing the boxes of pizza, garlic bread, and chicken wings on one hand, I gave the door to the shelter a shove, and it just swings open. The sporadic siren sound was still going off. I kept my crash helmet on, if only so I didn't have to hear that annoying kaiju roar. They'd done up the main room of the shelter pretty nicely, and I remember coming here as a teen to drink and smoke and clumsily try and hook up with girls. The place used to be covered in shite graffiti and stank of piss, and now it looked like the hippies had painted it, spruced the place up. There were even a few potted plants sitting around. It would have been nice if not for the utterly eerie feeling caused by it being deserted. I was getting pretty fed up with carrying the food around and also that roaring kaiju sound, so I looked around, and there was a desk and what looked like some kind of audio equipment. Although to me it looked defunct, switched off maybe, but at least I had somewhere to put the food down, and inside the shelter the noise was nowhere near as bad. But then, even through my helmet, I heard the distinct crack of a footstep behind me stepping on something. Then, I felt the distinct crack of something hitting me square across the shoulder blades. Hard. I let out a loud yell and whirled around. The guy who stood in front of me was topless, his hair long, lank, and greasy, and he had a wild and unkempt beard. His torso was smeared with something. Let's just say that it didn't smell good. He was holding a pole cue, and that's what he'd hit me with. I can't tell you exactly what he yelled at me, but it sounded something like, "Terrible lizard man, sucking him, Willie." And then he smacked me with a pole cue again. This time he hit me in the head and the pole cue snapped in half. Now remember, I was wearing my moped crash helmet, so I barely felt the blow. But then this deranged lunatic started lunging at me with the snapped pole cue. I did the only thing I could think of. I jumped forward and headbutted him full force in the face. And in that moment, his nose pretty much exploded, sending blood all over my visor. And I could barely see. So I let out my own feral roar. Godzilla himself would have been proud. Then, I delivered the hardest kick I could muster right into the deranged hippie's taint. He hooted and hollered, and that was all the time I needed to shove him away, dash outside, flip up my blood-covered visor, and very slowly speed away on my pizza chain-branded moped. When I was what felt like a safe distance away, I called the cops. Of course, this was the British countryside, so it took them hours to show up at the old shelter, and by then I'd already gone back to the restaurant and explained what happened. I don't think my manager believed a word of it until the cops eventually called. They hadn't found anyone in that old shelter. They did find some blood and the broken pool cue and the jerry-rigged siren and the laptop. The hippies themselves weren't there, though. In fact, they were all accounted for at an outdoor rave in a farmer's field, all above board. They claimed they had no idea who my assailant could have been. And he was never caught. But the worst part, the pizza and sides had also been taken by the time the cops arrived. Thankfully, I did eventually get answers a few months later. The same guy tried to rob the local village post office. He was a violent crack addict or something who had been in and out of prison for years. When I was called to identify him in a lineup for one of his many crimes, an officer let slip that I'd gotten off really lucky. Here's the weird part. This guy swore blind that he did not set up that laptop to play Kaiju Roar Inception Bwong sound. He copped to everything else, attacking me, the armed robbery, a few other things too, but that, he insisted it wasn't him, and so did those other hippies. None of them had any reason to lie though, and nobody would have gotten in trouble for that. So who or what the hell was causing that strange, terrifying monster roar? I'm not sure I'll ever know, and frankly, I think I'm just okay that I survived. I'm a pizza delivery guy for a small independent joint in Kentucky. Now I won't brag, but we have a reputation for being the best there is in our town. And I can't take much of the credit, I'm not one of the chefs. One of the reasons we're so popular though, other than our buy one get one free Fridays, is that we deliver a bit further out than our competitors. You see, we had the genius idea to invest a bit of extra moolah into a couple of delivery cars with heated seats. This has the bonus of keeping the pizza warm for longer, so we can deliver further out than our rivals. One of our regular stops is a local halfway house just outside in the boonies on the outskirts of town. We're the only pizza joint that delivers that far, and our competitors claim it's too far, but I don't believe them. I think they just don't want to deal with ex-cons and former, or supposedly former, addicts. But, you know, I'll tell you what. Most of these guys who are just out of jail or down on their luck, they're some of the best tippers you'll ever meet. Most folks like this aren't bad deep down, at least not when they're faced with a delicious piping hot pizza pie as a reward for a hard week's work, anyway. So yeah, I always enjoyed getting sent on a delivery to the halfway house. I met some real interesting people too. Sometimes they'll order real late, especially if pizza was on the supervisor, and he'd invite me to join them for a slice if my shift was over. That's the beauty of working for a little independent joint. My boss doesn't care if I chill with the customers, and I bet Papa John's doesn't let you do that. Now anyways, this one night, I got an order for a single 12-inch pepperoni. Uncommon. Normally they'd order enough to feed half a dozen or so guys, but not unheard of. When I pulled up outside the halfway house, most of the lights were off. It didn't look like anyone was in. except there's this guy pacing back and forth in front of the steps. He's studying his cell phone, looking very nervous and bothered. And I could see his very pale complexion in the headlights of my delivery car. Well, no worries, I thought. He's probably just jonesing for some pizza. And so I fished the bag out of the heated passenger seat and headed over to him. I open with a nice greeting, but my words just die right there on my lips. I can just tell this guy isn't right. He's acting like a heroin junkie desperate for his next fix, scratching his neck, his eyes, darting this way and that, and I check the name on the receipt.
Hey, you Freddy?
I asked him. And he looks at me, nods, and then his phone seems to buzz. His eyes are darting back down to it like the phone itself is what's giving him his fix, but if this was a fix, it was a bad trip. And by now, I've taken the pizza out of the bag, ready to hand it to him and head off. He's already paid through the app, and something told me this guy wasn't giving me an extra tip or inviting me inside to shoot the breeze with the other guys.
I'm real sorry, Freddy says.
And for a moment, I don't understand what he's saying. And then this fella just sort of fully uppercuts the pizza box that I'm holding. Just punches it upwards and towards me, so the damn pizza, thankfully still boxed up, smacks me in the face. I'm momentarily disoriented, and then Freddy continues to charge me. For this small, wiry guy, let me tell you that he was strong. I take a blow to the head, thankfully softened by the pizza box in my face and a swift jab to the ribs. Then, with the strength of someone who absolutely has to be driven by more than just regular energy, he shoves me to one side, runs straight for my car, and leaps in. Now, the fool that I am, I'd left the keys in the ignition to keep the headlights on. So Freddy does this absolutely epic U-turn, which would have been more impressive if it hadn't nearly hit me. Meanwhile, I'm tossing the pizza box aside and trying to get to my feet. Where's my damn cell phone, I thought. It turns out it had fallen into the bushes somewhere, and I could search for it later. But for now, I just had to watch as Freddy peels off in my wonderful new Toyota Prius that belonged to my employer. And let me tell you, this guy clearly could not drive. At the time, I had no idea if this was because he was on something or he simply couldn't actually drive, but I later found out that, yeah, he had no idea how to operate a car. So I just watched as my beloved Prius disappeared around the bend out of sight. Well, never seeing that again, I thought, moments before I heard a terrible crash and then the sound of multiple car alarms sounding at once. Freddy had made it about 2 blocks before reaching a more built-up area, spinning out of control and crashing into 3 parked cars. I didn't see this actually go down, but the owner of one of the totaled cars immediately calls the cops. I was torn between sprinting down the hill and checking out the site of the accident, or knocking on the halfway house to ask for help finding my phone and getting a general idea of what the hell was going on. And I opted for the latter. And so here's what happened. Freddy had done a short stint in jail for possession. He was a reformed meth addict, with reformed very much in air quotes, and he's been at the halfway house for just a few days. Apparently his girlfriend had been cheating on him while he was in jail, which really meant she'd broken up with his ass long ago, and for some reason when he got out of jail he expected her to be waiting with open arms, and instead she was engaged. So Freddy, in his infinite wisdom, decided that the best solution was to go and kill the fiance. Then his girl would want to be with Freddy again or something, I guess. I don't know. I'm not on meth. But Freddy couldn't drive. So he found our pizza flyer pinned to the halfway house notice board, read the note that we delivered there, and decided his grand plan would be to order a pizza, hijack my car, and then go and kill his ex-girlfriend's fiance. Maybe his ex-girlfriend too. I found out later that they now lived 3 states away. He was convinced that he'd managed to drive across multiple state lines in a stolen vehicle, having never operated one before in his life, and this master plan would go off without a hitch. He didn't even have a weapon. But the next day, he also didn't have any legs. I don't mean to make light of the situation, but it's freaking ridiculous, isn't it? This guy screwed up his heist so badly that when he crashed into three parked cars, the collision was so bad that it resulted in both of his legs having to be amputated, one just above the knee and one just below. Sucks for him, and I really mean that. I feel bad for this dude. And the rest of us, I guess we got off lightly. Damaged vehicles can be fixed. Amputated legs, as of now, not so much. Freddie went back to prison, of course, for a parole violation and then a whole host of different offenses. And I still work for that same pizza joint. But now, I'm manager of a new branch that we actually recently opened, and I still make sure our guys deliver to that halfway house. One bad slice doesn't need to spoil the pie, as they say. And on the occasions where I feel like doing a delivery myself, you can best believe those guys invite me in for a chat and ask me to tell them the story of the time a pepperoni pizza nearly cost me my life. I work for a pizza restaurant that prides itself on getting things right, and we're hella anal about it. We literally have one of those signs, like in the intro to The Simpsons, that says XXX days since the last incorrect order. Whoever's on shift at the counter has to be reset to zero, we all have to do a forfeit. It's all in good fun, but it just goes to show you how much care we take over getting things right. The funny thing is, we've never had a customer complain on the rare occasion we have made a mistake either. It's not like anything drove us to set up this little game, it just seemed like a cool idea. All of our regular clients were chill. And that is, until Colleen. Actually, in all fairness, Colleen had been chill in the past, but then we'd never gotten her order wrong before. Obviously, I was one of the unlucky ones due to a forfeit that day. I was the delivery driver, which meant that I should have quality checked the order before heading out. So, yeah, it does suck. But part of our perfect pizza promise is that if we get your order wrong, even one bit of it, you don't have to pay for any of it. It was around 5 in the evening. I arrived at Colleen's house minutes before the estimated delivery time. She'd clearly just gotten back from taking her kids to band practice or ballet or something, and she was hustling her children, a boy who looked about 12, and a girl who looked about 8, out of their station wagon. When she saw me, she huffed and was clearly flustered already, scolding me for being early. And as politely as I could, I told her that our estimated delivery time was just that, an estimate, and 6 minutes early was typically considered good. I could see her eyelid twitching at this, and her face was going red. The term Karen really wasn't a thing at this point, but Colleen was clearly going to be a Karen before Karens were cool. The kids were both just really excited that the pizza delivery girl had shown up. Colleen, meanwhile, was determined that because I was early, there had to be something wrong. First, she inspected the garlic bread. I've never seen anyone study garlic bread with such scrutiny. At one point, she was sniffing it so closely that I thought that it might go up her nose. The garlic bread was fine, and so was the rice, and so was the pasta. And then she opened the 20-inch pizza box, a delicious-looking margarita pizza with extra cheese. The kids looked on with awe and excitement. Colleen, meanwhile, flushed beet red. Her eyes opened wide in that kind of angry, preemptive way that some people manage when you just know that the poop is about to hit the proverbial fan. She looked at the pizza, and then she looked back at me, and then back at that pizza again, and then back at me. She spoke her next words slowly, carefully, deliberately, like I was the stupidest person she'd ever met. "There is no pineapple on this pizza." "That's correct, ma'am." And for a moment, I was confused. Why would there be pineapple on a double cheese margarita? "There's supposed to be pineapple, you little idiot girl," Colleen hissed. I looked down at the receipt. Ah, balls. She was right. She'd ordered pineapple as an additional topping on the margarita.
"Oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry," I said. "But good news. This means your whole order is free."
Colleen stared at me like I just told her we'd filled our stuffed crust with her dead grandmother. Angrily, she shout hissed that she does not care about free. She cared about the missing pineapple. She wanted the missing pineapple. And then her kids, bless them, spoke up. They said they really didn't mind, that they didn't actually like pineapple on pizza all that much. I thought I could see fear in the son's eyes as he spoke, and that's when I knew something was very wrong.
We ordered pineapple!
Colleen shrieked. Then, with a dexterity that only an angry soccer mom can muster, she hurled the entire 20-inch pizza box straight at me. It hit me square in the face, and I just stood there for a second, trying to push down my bubbling anger. I couldn't retaliate. I couldn't even yell back. Never before had I experienced a customer hurling a pizza in my face, and it was still hot. It hurt. The most I could do was quickly reach up and try and wipe the melting cheese off my skin before it burnt me. Colleen's daughter had begun to cry.
Well, now look what you've done.
Colleen screamed at me, as if it was my fault and not her lunatic rampaging outburst. I didn't think that it could get worse from there, but I didn't factor in Colleen's insanity, nor did I factor in her seemingly fresh manicure. This smartly dressed, tightly wound woman in her 30s leaped at me like some kind of horror movie werewolf. Her claws were out, and she wanted to hurt me. I screwed my eyes tightly shut to protect my eyeballs, and by God, I'm glad I did, because I felt her sharp nails raking down my face across my cheek. Her kids were screaming. I was screaming. Colleen was screaming. Then, my savior appeared. I couldn't see her at the time, but I later recognized her as another customer, Shauna, who lived a few doors down. A large woman, she barreled into Colleen so hard that Colleen went flying along the sidewalk, crashing into some plastic recycling bins. I wiped at my eyes, desperately trying to clear them of cheese and tomato sauce, and Shauna started to ask me if I was okay while Colleen's kids screamed and cried. Then Colleen was up, charging again, this time directly at Shauna, and through blurry vision I saw that she was holding her keys like some type of weapon. No, I wasn't having Shauna, my savior, getting keyed by this dumb party soccer mom over the lack of pineapple on pizza. I can't explain how I did this. I had zero experience in fighting or combat, and especially not wrestling. But as Colleen charged Shauna, I reached out my arm and braced myself and fully, perfectly clotheslined that bitch. This might have been my imagination, but I swear both of Colleen's kids cheered. With Colleen winded and knocked to the ground, Shauna proceeded to straight up sit on her until the cops arrived. Next, the kid's father, Colleen's ex-husband, Colin, I'm being serious when I say that name, turns up. The cops took Colleen away, Colin took the kids away, and Shauna and I had to go to the station to give our statements. Colin and Shauna both remain loyal customers, so I got to find out a little more about what happened. You see, Colleen had developed an addiction to both Xanax and Adderall, and between that and a messy divorce, I guess she had gone a little cuckoo. Colin had been fighting for custody of the kids, but the courts in our state aren't particularly known for siding with fathers. After Colleen's pizza attack, though, thankfully the kids got to live with Dad and eventually had court-appointed supervised visits with Mom. Colleen didn't go to prison. She went to a psych ward for a bit and then rehab, and I agree with that decision. Meanwhile, Shauna, Colin, and the kids were given VIP cards to our restaurant, which meant that they could eat there twice a month totally for free. Oh, and in case you're wondering, the boss decided we could waive my forfeit for the incorrect order this time. Being almost blinded by pizza and false nails was deemed punishment enough.